Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, December 10th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on the title page, Alcoholics Anonymous, starting with how many thousands of men and women, ending with have recovered from alcoholism. I will be commenting on those words. Today's readers are Lisa J.R. for the 12 steps, Susan H. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are John K. and Kathy Jo P. The share ID for Sunday, December 9th, is 12,278. That's 12278. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 12,281. That's 12281. And our newcomer greeter for today will be Melanie C. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Lisa J.R., if you could please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore, Maryland. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service, Pat.
And thank you, Lisa. Susan H., will you please read the 12 traditions?
I'd be happy to.
Jane?
This is Susan H.
The 12 traditions.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, Chrissy Jane, we didn't hear you check in, so go ahead.
One, our common welfare will come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. For our group purpose, there is but a ultimate authority,
Chrissy Jane, yes. I'm going to stop you for 1 second. Do you want us to have, we have our backup reader in here. Do you want us to have her do it? She was ready to do it. Are you okay? Can you?
Sure. You let her do it. That'll be good.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Chrissy Jane. Okay, Susan H., if you could unmute and finish those, we're on tradition two.
Okay, I came back, and here I am. This is Susan H. in Ohio. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to give service.
And thank you, Susan H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we are going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're on the title page, Alcoholics Anonymous, how many thousands of men ending with recovered from alcoholism. And John Kay, if you could get us started, please. Good morning.
Good morning. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Alcoholics Anonymous, the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. Oh, that was a tough one. I need to take a drink of water here. It was a long reading. Now, the thing I want to say about this, first of all, it's interesting. I was trying to look up what this might have said on the first edition. I can see that this is exactly the words in the second edition on, and obviously because it says thousands of, whereas in forward to the first edition, it talks about 100 men and women. And it's an interesting thing. I found myself thinking about it this morning. I listened to the early meeting a little and thinking about how they probably thought long and hard this was going to be the first words somebody was going to read, you know. And usually on the title page, you know, I've written a book. I didn't spend any time thinking about what was going to be on the title page, and I don't think most other authors have. But they probably did because they knew this was a matter of life and death. And they wanted to say something simple. That's the wonderful simplicity of this page. Very simple. Their thoughts, how this has helped. Because, you know, over the years, alcoholics had heard all kinds of snake oil salesmen tell them, here's what you do, and this is great, and it's going to do this, and it's going to, you know, whatever. And it doesn't do that there. It just sort of says, here's the thing. And that was the biggest difference this book had between other things that had come before it or even since, is the fact that this book doesn't say, here's what you do. It says, here's what we have done. You want to do it? Fine. You don't? It's okay. Because I think being alcoholics and having that personality, they knew they had to they had to do it that way, because that was the only way that was going to work, you know. And so it's very, very light on the promotion. And you know, if you think about what this book really should say on the title page, this book will save the lives of many, many millions of people, and which it has, you know. And it's great. I remember somebody saying once, you know, one thing this book doesn't say, it says it doesn't say anywhere, sit in meetings and talk about our problems, you know. And the instructions are here, you know. And I'll just, I'm going to inject a personal opinion here, and everybody's got their own opinions. When I've written a lot of things over the years. I feel when I'm really writing, I'm not writing it. I feel there's a higher power there, and I feel like I'm just the first person reading it. And I had a funny feeling when Bill was writing this, he wasn't writing it. He was the first person reading it, you know, because to me, this is the rowboat, you know, this is a rowboat with bindings, a rowboat to get us to the shore of recovery. Because I've always said, I think the 12 steps were God's gift to the 20th century. People were dying of alcoholism and of compulsive eating without any hope of recovery until this time. And those people who were dying, some of them were priests and ministers and rabbis and cantors and nuns. And it didn't matter. That conscious contact they had with a higher power didn't help them alone, because they needed to get their conscious contact with a power greater than themselves to help them with their problem. And that's the thing that this book shows us how to do. And it is just totally transforms lives. I can only speak for myself. I'm going to stop after I say this. If I hadn't read this book, I probably would have been dead for at least 20 years. And I know thanks to this book, I'm not. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, John Kay. Okay, we're on the title page, Alcoholics Anonymous. How many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism? Those are what we'll be commenting on, those words. So who would like to share on that?
Donna D.
Okay, hold on. There is about three that came in really fast all over each other. Can one of you say your name?
Zuma M. Ida A.
Ida. What was the first initial, Ida?
Ida A. As an apple.
Ida A. Okay.
Jennifer W.
Jennifer W.
Marissa E.
Marissa E.
Carol R.
Was it Carol?
Carol. Mm-hmm. Carol R.
Thanks. Carol R. Okay.
Jackie H.
Okay, let's stop there. I heard you squeeze in there, Donna, and Jackie H. Donna, what's the first initial of your last name?
B, as in boy.
B. Okay, great. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Suma M, Ida A, Jennifer W, Marissa E, Carol R, Donna B, and Jackie H. And we'll catch the rest of you on the next round. So go ahead, Suma M.
Hi, this is Suma M, Grateful Compulsive Overeater Living in Recovery. I was wondering what page we were going to start on, and I'm glad we started on the cover page. And, well, I pulled out my first edition book. And the difference is the story of how more than 100 men, instead of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. And it's interesting that there wasn't even a World Services at that time. It took at the bottom where it says Alcoholics Anonymous World Service is the publisher. And in the original edition, it's just called Works Publishing Company. So it sounds like maybe they just had to find some little publishing company to publish the book. Anyway, so we went from 100 men to thousands of men and women, and I'm glad finally the women joined in, and I'm glad to be among one of the thousands of men and women who have recovered, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Sima M. And Ida A., you're up next, followed by Jennifer W. Go ahead, Ida.
Hi, good morning. Ida A. here from
I'm a grateful compulsive overeater from Northern British Columbia. Thank you so much, Kathleen, and thank you for so much wisdom I have heard for the past year, day after day, from all of you wonderful visionary fellows, because so much is getting through. One of the things that I really wanted to do today is claim my seat on day one and say out loud that I keep getting it wrong. And so I thought I'd be really smart and read the first few lines, and it is really short, and I thought that's really cool. And then I got on the first line, and I'm like, huh, I didn't notice the story of was italicized. Huh. I didn't notice the recovered. Wow. And then somebody had shared about the triangle and how it had been removed. And I'm like, huh, let me pull out that. I think I have the third edition. And so what keeps getting through my head is I think I know. I think I've got it all figured out. Ida leads with her ego, and she misses the magic. I miss the magic, but thank God all of you were there. Thank you so much for allowing me to show up imperfectly every day. Thank you for letting me share imperfectly some days. And it's getting through. And I see, wow, many thousands, which is, yes, millions now. And if you can recover, I can put my ego down. I can put my food down. And I can find a God that loves me. And if I can move in that direction, anybody can. So if anybody's hanging on the line, hanging on to the food, hanging on to whatever you're hanging on to, and missing God and amputating people out of your life, me too. But I'm doing so much less of that amputation stuff. And with the food down, God is available to me, as are you. And bless you for being here and everything that you do. And I pass.
Thank you, Ida A. And Jennifer W., you're up next, followed by Marissa E.
Hello, this is Jennifer from Sweden. Can you hear me?
Yes, you can be heard, Jennifer. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this meeting and the start of the big book. It feels really great to start it from the beginning and really read. Like, I always am very fast in everything I do, so I would never read it like these headlines or the small little section like in the beginning. I would just skip it because I want to get to the most important and I want to know it all before I haven't read it. So it's really nice to do it thorough. And I find that this sentence is giving me hope because it's saying that it's a lot of people before me, thousands, and men, both men and women, that have recovered. And it's a story about that, which is a story, which is kind of nice, that a nice way of listening to it, like a story, but also that you can do it in a certain way. And I always sort of want it to be in my way. I'm not so good at taking directions, and I'm not so good at asking for help. So I'm happy that I am now at a stage where I really would like to get better, and I am willing to ask for help, and I want to do what other people tell me to do. And it's actually kind of easy to just do what you've been told, rather than like make a new thing, like you make something new from the beginning, rather than just take what's working and use that. Happy to be here, and I wanted to share so that you could get to know me, so that I would feel part, and a little bit nervous, and I find that my English it's hard because I'm used to talking Swedish, but I love to read this in English because the language is very beautiful. So thank you. With that, I pass.
And thank you so much, Jennifer W. from Sweden. Okay, Marissa E., you are up next, followed by Carol R.
Thank you, Kathleen. This is Marissa E., recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. Good morning, my fellows, and welcome to newcomers. To comment on this line, the story, right, this is what I'm seeing here is experience, strength, and hope, right? The story, experience, strength, thousands, and the recovered, that's the hope. And I do tend to fall down the rabbit hole of the dictionary, but it just gives me, right, this is a text. So if I don't understand something 100%, I look it up. And recovered means to return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength, right? So we're going from abnormal. On page 30, we talk about the abnormal drinker. I'm an abnormal eater. I do not eat like normal people. And yeah, right, it says abnormal. Right, deviating from what is normal or usually typical in a way that is undesirable or worrying. And I can tell all of my fellows listening that Labor Day weekend, I binged, restricted, and over-exercised, which is what brought me into this program about 10 years ago. And it was undesirable and worrying. I was worried. I had been sitting in the rooms. I had been working some type of program, right? Not the program as outlined in the book. And my higher power gave me the willingness. I was separated from my alcoholic foods for the last time. And now, right, it says return to a normal state of health, right? I no longer have the physical allergy because I'm not eating those foods. Mind, I no longer have the mental obsession and strength. I have a relationship with a higher power of my understanding. And so, yeah, it's so crazy how we can just really just take apart this book line by line. And at the same time, just the message carries so much depth and weight. And yeah, just being new, that's what I would see here is the experience, strength, and hope of these many thousands. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marissa E. Carol R., it is your turn, and you'll be followed by Donna B. Go ahead, Carol.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So thank you so much to everybody and to Visions, and I'm so glad that we're starting at the beginning and reading. And I'm comparing this page to the first page in the original book, and in this page it talks about how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism, a seemingly hopeless state, right, of mind and body. In the original book, it says the story of how more than 100 men have recovered from alcoholism. And it's like, oh my gosh, these first 100 or the first 1,000, but I'm going to go back to the first 100, they were like really low bottom cases. I mean, we've read a lot through the stories about people hiding in barns, wanting to die, and so many of the stories about how people put away the drink, and then when they were retired, they thought they could drink again or eat again like a normal person, and within 4 years, they were dead. I mean, dead, like dead, right? So, and we've read so much. And here, these people, the first 100, and in this page, like many thousands, have recovered. Like, they've found a way out. Like, for me, I still have my house. I still have a car. I'm still married. I still have my kids. A lot of these first 100, or I'm not sure about, I can't speak for the 1,000, but they had lost their families. They were, like, living in gutters, you know. They didn't have their house. Who knows? They were in bouncing in and out of asylums. what I hear in this is hope, like hope, 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 that if we work this book, we can recover too. I mean, it brings me to tears. And I'm from Pennsylvania, and I am recovered today, one day at a time, and I'm coming up on almost 1 year, so I feel so blessed. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Carol R. And Donna B., you're up next, followed by Jackie H.
This is Donna B., calling in from Denver, Colorado, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I'd like to look at this sentence as like a whole, the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism, to me also carries a great deal of hope. It's a statement of, we're going to tell you this story, this unbelievable, this amazing story that you should sit on the edge of your seat and listen intently, because this is an amazing story that we know how the story is going to end. In a sense, they tell us it's here right at the beginning. The story is going to end with the beauty of thousands of recovered men and women from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And so when I hear that sentence, I think to myself, yes, this is a story I really want to listen to. I want to listen to intently. I don't want to miss anything. But in my time in the program, what I've learned is that it is worthwhile to listen to every story. I listen to the stories of relapse so that I can hear those cautionary tales. I listen to stories of struggle. I listen to all the stories that are available to me through the fellowship. And I always come back to this story because when I do hear stories of relapse, I feel scared. I know that I only have one day at a time. I wake up every morning and get on my knees and ask God to keep me sober and abstinent. And every night I go to bed and I thank God for keeping me sober and abstinent. And that all I have is today, but I can keep coming back to this story with promises, this story with suggestions, this story with instructions. This story has everything in it that I need to bring me back to a stance of hope. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. And we are going to be taking some more names in just a minute. We're on the title page, Alcoholics Anonymous, how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. But it is Jackie H.'s turn from Colorado. So go ahead, Jackie H.
Good morning. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, thank you. Oh, wow. What absolutely, oh, Jackie H., recovered in Colorado, and so grateful to be able to say that and to experience that and live that. What rich, beautiful shares I've listened to this morning. I don't even know what I could add to it that would be any more, except this is the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. Wow, this little sentence here, who would not want to grab this book and glean to every single sentence, every single word in it in order to do this? And today, I am so grateful that I can say that I've recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Oh my goodness. Wow. This spiritual malady that I have has taken on all kinds of different colors, and I won't go into it. But when I first called into this meeting the 1st of July, I heard people, I heard men and women talk about being recovered, and boy, that got my attention, because I haven't felt recovered. I haven't been recovered, right? I've looked in all kinds of different directions to get recovery from this seemingless, hopeless state of mind and body. And so, man, you guys got my attention. And I grabbed on to everything you said. And so today, I am so grateful that I have this set of instructions, that I have this design for living, that I have you people to hold my hand and to walk with me, to walk with purpose on this journey. And with that, I will pass. I love you all. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Jackie H.
I would love you to cheese quick if you want.
Somebody must be online.
Wait, somebody's talking in the background and it's unmuted. I'm ready for some more names.
Gina H.
Beatrice.
Okay,
O.
All I heard, hold on. All I heard was Gina R.
Lisa J. R.
Beatrice. I heard, hold on. Stop a minute. Okay, I heard, after Gina R., I heard an Andrea. Was it Andrea? And what's the first initial of your last name, Andrea?
The first initial is S like Sam.
S is in Sam. Okay, and I heard Lisa J.R., and I heard Beatrice O, I believe.
Beverly R.
Deborah. Okay, hold on. Deborah S. Hold on. After Deborah S., who was it?
Beverly R.
Okay.
Mo H.
Okay, let me stop right there. So I have Gina R., Andrea S., Lisa J.R., Beatrice O., Deborah S., Beverly R., and Mo H. So go ahead, Gina. Gina, star one to unmute.
Sorry, it must have muted me. This is Gina R., recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I'm a compulsive eater living in Green Valley, Arizona. And I was one of the people who got upset when I heard that word recovered. I got into the rooms in the mid-80s through the Mother Fellowship, and the way people would announce themselves would be recovering, because this was an ongoing process. You had to work. They said you have to work it every day, and it was a daily reprieve. And so I just bought into that. And so the first time I listened to this meeting, that really hit me in a way that I didn't like. And it, what I know now is that it was piercing my ego. And I listened for probably, I don't know, maybe 6 months, and I would just get pissed off every time I heard somebody, and I apologize for that expression, but it's the real truth. I would get mad that you had the audacity and the gall to say that. And finally, in May of 2016, I had enough, and thankfully my Ebby Thatcher brought the reality of this program to me, and she said, just call in and get help, call in and connect, and I did. I called in and I connected, and my guide started me on this page, and that was my challenge. She said, it's right here in the book. I don't know where you got the whole recovering part, but this is the reality. This is the truth. And until you can believe it, let me believe it for you. And so that's what I say to people. If you're on this line and you're getting upset that this is the words that we use, it's okay. Sit with your upset. Let it do what it needs to do. But know that this is the great fact and reality for many, many, many of us. And I'm so glad that I hung around, and I'm so glad that I let that emotion do what it needed to do to bring me to this place. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Gina R. Andrea S., you're up next, followed by Lisa J.R.
Thanks for your service. This is Andrea S. from New Jersey. Grateful to be on this line with all of you fellows. And the word that always gets me on the title page here is world. And that means the planet, everybody. This is a human thing. And a great share about ego just now, because piercing the ego, that's what that reminds me of, is that no matter what I've accomplished in my life, hello, I am still human. And this is part of my humanity. This is what the dice rolled and gave to me. And this is what God wanted for me to have to work with gratefully so that I could find him. I found God through this program. I had always believed in God but did not have a relationship with him. And I do call my higher power God. And I don't have a relationship with the Judeo-Christian Bible, but I have heard that Noah, of all people, had an addiction. He was a drunk after the floodwaters receded years after. And that, of all people, I mean, this man had faith enough to build an ark when everybody was making fun of him. And then he was proven right, and I love being right, when the waters came. So of all people to lose faith when he so had it at one point, and whether we believe that to be a myth or reality in history, it teaches me that I got to work my faith, because the addiction's going to just creep up no matter what I accomplished in the past. And it's never been what I have accomplished. It's what God has given to me. And to hang on to that faith, which my ego finds so hard to do. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Andrea S. And Lisa J.R., you're up next, followed by Beatrice O.
Thank you, Kathleen, and everybody for being on the line. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore, Maryland. That word this morning, how, packs a mighty punch. It's a small word, but it packs a big punch to me this morning. You know, how for me implies a set of directions, how something is accomplished, how to get from point A to point B. And, you know, I can liken it to an experience I had. I was in a wilderness area, and I got off trail. I followed a game trail, and I found that I was very, very lost. Just like I was with the food, I got off on the wrong track, and I became hopelessly lost. This book is like a map to me, and my higher power is like a compass. Working these steps has been very much, you know, the way to get to the destination for me. And, you know, when I got my compass out and I got my map out, I found the trail again. I found the true trail again, and I obviously got out of the area, got back onto my path, and finished my hike. But, you know, in this program, these 12 steps, if I work them with my higher power always beside me, always that true north, that magnetic pole, I am not going to get lost. And so for me, you know, how has come to have a wonderful meaning. You know, I know the book is meant to be suggestive only, and that's a great literary ploy that Bill used, because he didn't want to run us all off. But the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of musts, there are a lot of have-tos in this book, and so grateful today that that you're working it with me. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. And Beatrice O., you're up next, followed by Devorah S.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. I love this. I just wanted to tag on to the last speaker with the how. That's the operative word in this title page. How many thousands of men and women have recovered? And this Alcoholics Anonymous book, if you look at it like a school of recovery, this is the textbook for recovery. And if you go to the preface, it says, this is the basic text for our society. And it says that we are recovered. And I think the way, and then and on the second edition, it talks about permanent recovery. And I think for the newcomer, it's great, because this big book was set up. If you look at it as a textbook, they're saying, hey, this is how we did it. Let me tell you what the doctor says. And let me tell you about the story, this Bill W. This is how he recovered. And then we go on and we have an answer. We have a solution. Then the book talks about the solution. Then we talk about the disease. And then we bring God into it for the, you know, the chapter on the agnostics. And then we say, this is how it works. And then we take you into action. So I don't think that I ever looked at the big book that way. I think if someone would have explained it to me and said, hey, this is how we do it, I think I would have progressed a lot faster. But, you know, in the preface it says this is a basic text for our society. So that's the operative word, how. And I, too, had a problem saying recovered. And the reason I had a problem, my reason is I had relapsed so many times. I was afraid to say that I'm recovered. But now I feel differently. I feel like it's more of a positive way to acknowledge myself. I'm a recovered food addict. And I have tapped into that fourth dimension, that God consciousness that Bill talks about in his story. And I think Bill's story up in the front of the book is what a newcomer needs to read as they're going through the book after the doctor's opinion.
Thank you.
Because it's very inspiring. So thank you, and with that I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And Devorah S., you are up next, followed by Beverly R.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And thank you all who makes this meeting possible, hearing a lot of great stuff. And I never spent so much time on the title page. I spent an hour earlier on the earlier meeting, and now I'm listening to everyone here. And it's amazing what I'm hearing. And to tell you the truth, I'm guilty because I sort of like all the years of reading this book, I sort of like passed it over and went to the other stuff, you know, gotten started with the doctor's opinion. So, you know, these few lines here, these few words here really tell a lot. And what I'm noticing is the story of, it's one story. You know, we all have the same story. Food was making our lives unmanageable. I know from, I'll talk for myself, but from what I'm hearing, it's like, you know, food had us and we didn't know what to do about it. And we tried all different kinds of things to try to control the food and we couldn't. So we all have the same story. We came in here because we were dying from this disease. And, you know, so we have one story to tell, and it's thousands of, and I'm so grateful that I'm one of these thousands of men and women who have recovered from this disease. How cool is that? And from what I'm hearing on this line, we were all one of thousands, you know, who can say that we have recovered from this powerful, baffling and mind-boggling disease. So really, really grateful. And, you know, just as there's one story, you know, it also is one solution. And that's what we hear in these pages is in the 12 steps. You know, for me, this had to be this was the last station for me. This was the last house on the block for me. I've been a compulsive overeater my whole life, starting as a child, and nothing worked for me. I was always, you know, I lost weight, and the next, I don't know how much later, it was just up again. And I didn't get it until I came into these rooms and heard about the solution here, the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind. And thank you, God, today I could say that, you know, I'm not obsessing over the food, and my life is manageable today, you know, thank God. And it's all because, you know, I came in and I'm turning these pages of the book with you a day at a time and leaning into these steps and leaning into my higher power. And what a miracle that I have a shot today. You know, thank you, God. And with that, I'll pass. And I'll thank you.
Thank you, Devorah S. Beverly R., you're up next.
Hello, my name is Beverly. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Beverly.
Hello, my name is Beverly R. from Gaithersburg, Maryland, Eastern Standard Time. And, wow. My story is that I came into this room for a number of reasons. I mean, I became a compulsive overeater for a number of reasons. And the reason hardly matters. But one thing I know is that I became comfortable with this weight because for one of the reasons I became comfortable with this weight, it was keeping me away from what I call the wolves who would be chasing me. And yeah, and that's part of my story. But the book tells us that we are recovered, that we become recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I have a question to ask. I think I have a question to ask. Why is it that some people who seem to have faith in God, the Christian, Judeo-Christian God, seem to have a much harder time than others do? That's a question I'd like to ask. Why is it that some people who seem to have faith in God, and with me it's the Christian, Judeo-Christian God, seem to have a much harder time in the program than others do? And I just endorse that the stories tell about how people have recovered, and the message of the big book to me is, listen, man, there is hope. Listen, man, there is hope. And if there's a time for question and answer, I don't know. Could someone try to answer my question for me? But remember, listen, man, there is hope. With that, I pass. My number is 301-527-9594. 301. Oops, I'm sorry, you're not supposed to give your number right now. Okay, bye.
Okay.
Oh, sorry
Thank
about
you.
That.
Thank you, Beverly R. And this is not a question and answer meeting, but hopefully you'll get some calls and someone can answer that question for you.
Well, I'll give my number later at the correct time, and my apologies.
You know what? Melanie will make announcements about how to do that. But we're going to move on with Mo H. If you could take us out, Mo, go ahead.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Oh, good. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. So grateful to be back on this line. I haven't been able to be live for a while here. I'm recovering from back surgery, and I say the word recovering because down the line, I hope to be recovered if I follow the directions that the doctor gave me. And this is the same with the book. As so many other people have said, when I first got on the line about 2 years ago, I heard that word recovered and it bothered me and I didn't understand it. And I remember asking my sponsor, why are people saying they're recovered? Because I always heard the word recovering. And she said, if you have completed all 12 steps and are giving service, then you have recovered. And gratefully, I completed all 12 steps according to this big book, and I am giving service. That was one thing that really helped me understand that word of being restored and renewed. And then the second part of this is the word alcoholism. And I heard at a workshop once that alcohol is the physical part of our disease, the allergy of the body, and the ism is the mental part, the obsession of the mind. And so that takes apart that word for me. Then the last thing I wanted to share today is on page 85, we are not cured of what we have. We are not cured. What we have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our fit spiritual condition. And when I injured my back in July, and wasn't diagnosed till November, I said to myself, I refuse to give in to my abstinence because of this pain. I will continue to work my program the best I can. And I've had to work it from a chair. I couldn't go to face-to-face meetings, but I could be on this line, and I listened a lot. I didn't share a lot because I was in so much pain. But I'm so grateful to be back today and be part of this wonderful, wonderful recovered group of men and women. And we are more than thousands now. There's a lot more of us than that. So with that, I would pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Mo H. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning, your fabulous shares. We're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book, page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kathy Jo P., will you please read a vision for you?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.